CliffCentral.com.
He is the king, Gareth Cliff.
Sanders testing 1-2. Bernie Sanders testing 1-2. Bernie. The top 1%. That's who's listening this morning. Just the top 1%. Of the top 1%.
Ah.
Didn't you know that?
Thank goodness that that is not confusing at all.
No. Good morning, Ben.
Hello.
Good morning, Mavs.
Hi.
Good morning, Pashita. Good morning, Michael Flex, producer.
Morning, morning.
Hello, everybody. What's happening?
It's Friday.
Yes, it's Friday. Isn't that marvelous?
Oh.
Don't you love it? When Friday rolls around, I'm a happy guy. That's all I can say. Happy, 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 happy. So happy.
Yum, yum, yum. Yum, yum. The Buccaneer rumbling.
Isn't that great? We're so adult. First thing on a Friday morning. Oh, I am feeling good though. I'm glad the weekend's here. I'm sure everybody's a little bit tired. The last 2 weeks have been exhausting politically, socially.
I mean, public holiday wise, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. These public holidays, they throw you off your step, right? So you've got a plan, you've got a mode, you're in that mode, and then these public holidays throw you off. It's like you're running the hurdles, and then, you know, suddenly someone puts a hurdle at an odd distance between the other hurdles. And you're like, what the hell's this? I mean, it's nice because, you know, you get the day off, but it throws off your balance, and you need to start all over again. As we discussed the other day, it's all open season, though, to the end of the year. Now, there are no more holidays. So from here on until the holidays, it is work, 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 and we've got to do it. We've got to get this country moving. All indications are that we're in an upward trend. We are in exactly the opposite position to what we were in January of this year. That should make everybody happy.
Hoorah.
No, the indicators are good, right?
Well, yesterday we just confirmed that we are the biggest economy in Africa again.
Thank goodness. So the news is starting to turn towards the positive. We had an election where people turned out in record numbers for municipal and local elections, so that means that people care enough about the country. It's not as if there's apathy. And there are things moving, my friends. There are different wheels and cogs in this machine that have not turned for some time, that have been greased and immobile, and suddenly they're starting to gain some traction. Things are starting to move, and it's great news. So, there's Olympics to talk about. There is news to get into. Flax's laptop is broken. I mean, this is a major national issue, I think. For many people all over the country, there's great concern about how Flax's laptop broke.
It's more than just broken.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it just freezes. As it starts up, it just freezes. And then I haven't backed up anything, so everything I've ever worked on in my life just disappears in front of me.
Life.
Apple can't figure out what's wrong yet.
What's the most important thing that you've been working on that you're worried about losing? Top of the a pile of important stuff that you're going to lose if this thing doesn't come right.
Just like creative show ideas, games for the show.
Well, see, now I'm
voice
worried.
Clips, stuff like that.
I wasn't as worried until you said that.
Interviews aren't backed up that I've done.
Oh.
So everything. My life is basically has to restart with the computer.
But you can get your email.
Yeah, I can get emails.
Sure, okay. Well, that's a
yeah,
big,
because
you know, these days you can't live without that.
Yeah, email contacts and all of that. But wait a minute, Flex. How is the great and mighty Apple not able to fix your machine?
I don't know. So what happened was after yesterday's show, I went to one Apple store. Sat there for an hour. He tried to figure it out. He said, listen, go home, charge it for an hour, then see if it works. I did that. I went home to find out there's no water, so I couldn't even drink a glass of water while I waited. So then it wasn't working, so I went to another Apple store, sat there for an hour. He said, go home and do this process. It should take you 6 hours and then it should be fine. I go home, it wouldn't let me do the process he asked me to do. So then I phone Apple, because I found out you can't phone an Apple store. Because I try to phone the Apple store. What happens is, you phone like a headquarters in South Africa, and their technical services help you. So I sat for an hour with this dude, and he couldn't figure it out.
Oh.
So he patched my call through to Apple US. And I chatted to this girl with this amazing accent for like 2 hours. And after 2 hours of trying everything, she said, listen, delete the OS X, which is like the operating system. And we're going to...
How do you even do that?
I have no clue. She told me push Command R, push this.
Wow.
So we did that. And I left it overnight because it's about a 16-hour download process. I woke up this morning, got to work, switched it on, logged in. I'm very excited. Going to back it up. Good to go. Freezes.
Nothing.
I honestly don't know what to do.
Yeah, well, so Ben says it's Steve Jobs plotting against you from the grave.
Yeah, he wants you to buy something bigger and more expensive. Michael.
And we've run every single test, from searching if there's a virus to reinstalling the software. There's nothing left to do besides dip it in water and say goodbye.
All right. Flax, you got to calm down. No,
it's just, it's ever since I started this whole adulting.
Very angry, stop.
That everything's just gone to shit.
You've got to stop. You're so angry.
Yesterday, no water.
Listen to this.
For 12 hours.
Listen to this anger. You got to calm yourself down. Take a big, deep breath. Right. Everybody join Flax on this one. Let's all calm down. It's Friday, Flax, all right?
I know. I need the weekend. I decided last night I'm going away for the weekend. I got to get out.
Where are you going
to
go?
I'm going to go to the coast.
Oh, all right.
Book a ticket later. Go to the coast.
All right. Get out of here. Get out of here. Right? Wow. Sounds like he's got stress in his life. Flax is, he's exhausted. He doesn't know what to do.
Get out of here, man. Shit, I'm saying. Get out of here for real. I'm saying get out of here for real.
Now, you know, we've had both these guys on the show. Darren Scott and Anthony Duke. Do you remember Anthony Duke had nothing nice to say about Darren Scott?
Yeah.
I don't remember who Anthony Duke is.
He was a kind of older guy, about a year and a bit ago.
He's a crabby, grumpy old fuck from... He used to be in charge of 5FM. We love him, though. He's a grumpy guy, but he was very entertaining. Right, Ben? You remember?
Yeah, I remember the interview quite well now.
Right, so Darren Scott posted this on his Facebook yesterday, and someone sent me a screenshot. I just love it when people bring their fight into the open. He says, Anthony Duke, you've spent the last 5 years trying to convince people that we were friends because I let you stay at my house when no one else could bear your dope smoking and drug habit. That doesn't make you a friend. And when you tried to grope my wife when I wasn't watching, that should tell you why you were never welcome at my house again. Carry on with your campaign, you bitter, grumpy old hag. You know no one gives a shit about you or cares about your so-called radio expertise. You're an irrelevant mosquito that needs a proper slap.
Ooh.
And it's coming. Now leave my fucking family alone. I'll deal with you if you're man enough.
Sure.
So things have broken out into open warfare. You know what happened here? These two had a major disagreement about money. And this, if nothing else, because they were tight. I don't know that they were friends. I can't comment on that. I was never close enough to either of them to know. I mean, I liked Darren. While we were at Fire together, Darren was very good to me. He was one of the few people who was actually nice to me when I started there. Gilman had told the rest of them to be as horrible to me as possible. Because I think he could see the writing on the wall that his time was coming to an end and I was going to be his replacement. So he didn't like me, and he told everyone else to be as mean to me as they could. And there's a lot of ego in radio, and people don't talk about this. They'll pretend to get along. But I didn't really get along with anyone there. And then, you know, Darren was always just human. He was just nice to me. He was just an ordinary dude who was, you know, friendly and sometimes grumpy like anybody else. But he wasn't mean. And I didn't really know Anthony Duke at all. He was on the show with us last year sometime. He was fun to talk to. He's got some interesting points of view. And he did turn 5FM into the music powerhouse that it was in many ways. Even if he was just steering the ship, that's the most important part of being on a ship. These two clearly, they tried to go into business together at some point. Money was lost. Money was not paid back. I don't know how it worked because I wasn't involved. But there's a lot of bitterness there. And you know what it's reminded me is you don't go into business with friends.
It's so true, yeah.
You just don't do it. And even if they weren't friends, then their example's a bad example. But going into business with your friends is a bad idea. You don't want to do it, right? You'd think these are the people you can trust the most. You'd think these are the people I want to go and see at work every day because they'll be so much fun to be around. But the moment money comes into that picture, ugh. Oh, it'll be about a small amount or a big amount. It doesn't matter. It can lead to the end of that friendship, that relationship. It's done. And if you've ever had an experience of something like that, you know what I'm talking about. Now, fortunately, I haven't had that experience, but I have had some friends I've lent money to, and you never see that money again.
Uh-oh.
I saw a funny meme. Forget about it.
I know which one you're talking about.
If you really hate someone.
Yeah, if you hate someone, lend them $100 and you'll never see them again. That's the truth, right? That's how people are. Money just changes everything. You talk about how love changes everything. Fair enough. But I've seen people fall in love, fall out of love, and fall back in love again. I've seen that happen.
Well, all you need to do is look at how families fight over somebody's will if they've left a big chunk of money after their passing, and all of a sudden family members who supposedly love each other are at each other's throats and become sworn enemies, and it's because of money.
Mm-hmm.
But that stuff that you read, that was from Facebook, right?
That was right off of Facebook, yeah.
You see, I know that a lot of us enjoy watching public spats because we view them as entertainment, but I always wonder after the fact, do people feel a sense of liberation when they air their dirty laundry, or do they later feel, okay, well, that was a dumb move. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. Because then what you do is you invite everybody in to comment,
right,
and people will jump in and comment and make your business.
I just saw that there were a couple of, there were about 30 or 40 likes on there. So now what you're going to find is that people are choosing a side.
Yes.
And then some of those people may be mutual friends with both of those conflicting parties. And then the conflicting parties will look at who gave them likes, and they'll assemble their army.
Mm.
It's just not healthy. I don't think this is a good thing. But I thought it was entertaining for us, because, I mean, I'm not really attached to either of these guys in any way. I don't have beef with either of them. They were really a generation before me in terms of radio, so they're not my guys, you know? But this would be funny in a way that if Ben and I were crabby old bastards one day and we had an argument, like, this is how it would turn out.
Exactly.
Ben would say shitty things about me and I would say shitty things about him. And my buddy would chip in.
No, I wouldn't.
Yes, you.
No,
I know you. You're
I
like,
would.
You go, well, I always hated Ben.
Fuck off, Ben. I will never forget that. I will never be allowed to forget that moment.
My ass is wild the fuck out.
So, let's get into some news. There's so much to talk about. It is Friday, but that does not mean we're going to slack. That does not mean we're going to lie around all lazy-like. We're going to do some stuff here.
everybody.
Over to you, Matt.
Well, yesterday in Pretoria, the ANC began what is going to be a four-day NEC meeting.
Ooh.
Where amongst some of the things that were discussed, apparently the ANC are considering changing the Electoral Act, Gareth.
Oh, really? To what?
Which it blames for benefiting opposition parties at its expense.
You know, it really worked so well, this Election Act. It worked so well, like, in 1999 when the ANC had more than a two-thirds majority. Then it seemed to be okay. I love the way when soccer isn't working for you, you change the way soccer's played. Ben, have we ever had a situation where, I don't know, let's say Real Madrid stopped winning?
Okay.
Okay. And they decided, well, the problem is this ball is too round. Let us rather use a square ball.
No, Gareth, that hasn't happened.
Because that's ridiculous. No, yeah, it's ridiculous. Right.
Okay.
Okay, what do they want
so
to do?
So, Gwede Mantashe said that the ANC are going to look into the proportional representation system, the merits of which should be open to discussion. Now, the Times understands that the reconsideration of the electoral system, including proportional representation, was proposed by ANC-aligned mayors 3 years ago already.
This was not even that long ago.
This is when Pravin Gordhan was Minister of Local Government.
Right.
So party members yesterday said that they had hoped that a review of the Electoral Act and of proportional representation would have been completed before this year's elections. And so they, you know, mentioned in this meeting that, no, guys, we had these conversations 3 years ago. It's time for us to go back to the drawing board and see how we can change the electoral.
In other words, how we can tip the playing field more in our favor.
You can't trust these guys. Like, you want to be.
You really can't.
You really can't trust these guys.
You can't, I'm afraid.
This one is going a bit over my head. Constitutionally, legally, are they allowed to do this?
No, not single-handedly.
As the ruling party, are they allowed to go in and, we'll chop and change a few acts here and there? I mean, is that legal? I need to understand. Somebody who knows better than me, please explain.
No, I don't understand. There's no way I can help you. This is next level complicated. But it does seem to me like if you're playing... You know, there was always that kid at school who, when the game wasn't working for him, he would change the rules of the game.
Yeah, or just take his ball.
And he was always a dickhead. Mm. He was never a friend. He was never someone you wanted to be around on the playing field. That's how the ANC are behaving now. Now, they've pretty much been told by the people of this country, fuck you, right? We don't want you running the major cities of this country. They have not... They've got Durban and East London and Bloemfontein. We could do without two of those. And it wouldn't hurt the economy. No offense to Bloemfontein and East London, but you guys are at the back of the queue. Johannesburg, Pretoria, Cape Town. These are the most important cities in this country. Include Port Elizabeth, include Durban. They've been told by people in those cities, we don't like you enough to give you even half the vote. Those of us who feel we should pitch up for you. Of those, not even a half will give you their vote. Now you want to change the system so that you can make it look like you're popular. You're not. This is a party in decline. This is like betting on the horse that's already been running for 5 years and it's not going to win anymore. It's old and tired and there are new horses in the race. Fresh ones who aren't 70-something years old. I'm talking about the ancestors.
And stuff like this makes them sound like dog food. Once you change the electoral process.
That's pathetic. How many people voted for the ANC?
800 and 700. Listen properly. 769,820. And 70.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And then the spotlight has now moved to the Gauteng ANC. And remember, Justice mentioned a while ago that he was concerned about the provincial leaders within the Gauteng ANC and what would happen to them as a result of their dismal results in the province. Even though the ANC got the majority vote, it's still not enough for, you know, they would still need to go into a coalition with some other party. You've got to have 50%, and I think they got 44%. And so the Premier of Gauteng, Premier David Makhura, he was speaking yesterday at a briefing on the local election results, and he says that the local government election results are not an indictment of the work the province is doing. He said, "I'm confident that for this provincial government, these election results are not a verdict on what we are doing, or of every aspect of our program, the transformation and mainstreaming, revitalization of our township economy." Now,
right, let's figure out whether we agree with him or not.
Okay, look, I've heard people like Justice, you know, say complimentary things when it comes to the Gauteng ANC as compared to the national organization.
Don't you feel that mostly, if you think about how Gauteng was run 6 or 7 years ago, I mean, everybody got the wrong bill. Remember? There was a lot of trouble. And where every road had a pothole. Do you remember how many potholes we used to have? You don't see those much anymore, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Let's give credit. Like David Makhura and Paul Mashatile and Park Stow and these guys have done a good job. I mean, in ANC terms, they've done a sterling job because the ANC didn't care about service delivery. That's why we have protests all over the country. We've looked at those numbers before, but the Gauteng ANC have tried their best. Remember, they even stood up for us on e-tolls against the mighty ANC nationally.
Right.
It's cost them hugely politically. And David Makhura is saying this because what he's saying to us is, hey, guys, I'm going to need your help. He's crying out for help. He's saying, I'm about to go into an NEC meeting this weekend where I'm going to get the blame.
Yeah.
For these municipal elections not going the ANC's way.
Well, that's already started happening, Gareth, because an ally of Paul Mashatile has come out publicly to say that the Gauteng ANC must go.
Oh, God.
So, again, you know, people are going to be fired. People are going to be made to pay for things that they, you know, were not responsible for directly or indirectly. Mike Maile, who is a close ally of Gauteng ANC chairman Paul Mashatile, has called on his comrades in the political party to step down following their dismal performance in the recent local government elections. Maile said Gauteng had always followed principles and that it should do so. Now, he said, we should not follow the wrong precedents.
The wrong president is more like it.
Yes. I think Mr. Maile got it wrong here.
He used the word precedent, and he meant president. But you know what's going to happen. Justice took this bet with us just yesterday. He said, watch what happens. Gedlehlegisa is going to hang on there. He'll still be president.
Can I just point out that I was with Justice in that? Or should I just be... Is the team bet?
No, we've all been roped into it,
see
this.
Ben. Okay, that's fair enough.
You're on our side of this argument.
I've suffered enough under this cretin's rule. I suppose this bet is just another element.
I want to start putting 1 rand coins in my piggy bank now already. So that when it's time to pay Justice, I'm going to be ready.
I got a couple of emails just quickly before you finish the news, Mubs. Okay. There's some interesting things that people are saying. Olande, who sent us a message from Singapore, she said, I'm catching up on podcasts and I'm laughing my ass off at Mabali yesterday.
What did I?
When she paused with disgust when Ben told her what the posters were that the ANC Women's League had with them on Women's Day. Ha 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 ha, she says. Hollande. How's that, huh?
From Singapore, hey?
All the way from Singapore, registering your disgust. See, don't let it be said that people aren't listening far and wide to hear you being disgusted and things.
Okay.
All right, back to you. One or two more news stories.
Okay. Big story throughout all of yesterday were the interviews that were being conducted to find the replacement for Thuli Madonsela. And boy, were these candidates grilled.
Mm.
We'll begin with Mamiki Goodman, who admitted that she has been suspended from her job. You see, this is the thing during interviews is all the stuff comes out. You can't run away from it or hide it.
Well, she's out. Why was she suspended, did she say?
Yes, it was explained, Gareth. Goodman had failed to disclose to the committee that she is on suspension for calling her boss biased during an altercation.
Okay, I don't know if that's necessarily suspendable.
This is after she was asked about her suspension as executive manager of the National Gambling Board. When asked why she had not disclosed this information, because I suppose this is part of the things that they took issue with. Well, then, you know, if it seems so harmless, why didn't you just disclose it? So they asked why hadn't she disclosed this and actually indicated that she had a clear working record. Goodman said that she had mentored in light of her previous jobs. She has also had very public spats with two previous public protectors.
Ooh.
DA MP Glynis Breytenbach questioned her, questioned how she could return to the office without causing mayhem, while EFF MP Floyd Shibambu said she had dragged the public protector's name through the mud. Then when it came to Judge Siraj Desai, he lost his cool when MPs wasted no time in addressing the Mumbai incident. This is when he was accused of rape on a working visit to the city back in 2004. You can't hide anything here, people. DA MP Werner Horn said to Judge Desai, "You were found not guilty. I know there's an indication the complainant or accuser in the matter withdrew her charge or complaint. What I wanted to comment on is it was fairly widely established and recorded at the time. At first, there was a point-blank denial of any intercourse on your part, while your defense turned around later, turned around the consensual sex later." And apparently Judge Desai lost his cool here. He objected to Horn's question by saying that he had never been found not guilty on the charge, since it had been withdrawn under oath by his accuser. Then when it came to Willy Hofmeyer, he was questioned on whether or not he could be trusted not to be going after the position of public protector simply because he wants to protect the president. Hofmeyer is the former head of the Asset Forfeiture Unit. He was asked point blank by Floyd Shivambu whether he should not be suspected as seeking high office to shield Zuma from further scrutiny and charges.
Wow, well, that's a good question. I hope Willy Hofmeyer had an answer.
Hofmeyer said he believed it was right that the decision on whether or not to pursue corruption charges against President Jacob Zuma should ultimately be decided by the courts. This is after he was pressed on his role in that decision by MPs interviewing him for the job of public protector. Shivambu said, "How could we trust you? We suspect that you are just an extension of the person you decided not to charge," because he decided against charging the president. Hofmeyer replied saying, "I am not coming to the public protector to protect anybody other than the public." And by the way, people were confused as to why Julius wasn't there yesterday, because it was meant to be Julius and not Floyd.
Right, but you know
but
how
you
that
know,
works,
you
right?
Send in your...
The party can send in anyone they want for that seat that they've got on the Judicial Services Commission.
Yeah, exactly.
Or in the case of this one.
I think people were just expecting and maybe even hoping that Julius would be there.
But I think Floyd really likes this, though. This is his role. He's asking some pretty good questions.
Oh,
you can see the manner he's doing it in. He does. Hey, he likes it.
He's loving it.
If you said to me, Floyd or Julius, who would you rather sit with at lunch and have argue with you, I'll take Julius any day.
Oh, really?
Oh, Jesus, Floyd's difficult. Yo, are you kidding? And Floyd won't even crack a smile while he tells you that you should eat shit and die. He'll look you straight in the face. That guy's hardcore.
I don't know when the final, you know, decision will be made on who will succeed Thuli Madonsela, who has really just left a big pair of big shoes to fill.
Big brass balls, let's call it what they are.
Okay, then, yeah. Big brass balls, there you go.
And I mean no disrespect, because she is a woman after all, but she's a powerful woman. The kind of woman that embodies everything about feminine power. You know what I like about her? Is despite all of this really tough stuff she's had to do, she still does it in a sort of motherly way, doesn't she? She never shouts at anyone. It's almost like when your mom catches you doing something stupid, like stealing from the cookie jar or whatever, and she goes, "No, my buddy, I'm really disappointed in you." That hurts way more than, "You stupid, crazy child, what are you doing?"
Absolutely.
Right? And that's how Thuli is. She's just got it right.
She just didn't need this from you today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so disappointed.
you know, somebody who's always composed, I'm a little bit afraid of, because most of us find it difficult to always be in control.
Right.
So somebody like Chulima Donsela, who has never lost it ever.
Look at Flex, he's using a pen and paper because he hasn't got a laptop. It's so much fun.
Shame.
I don't think he's used a pen and paper for a long time.
No, probably not.
He was holding the pen like you would hold a... Like you'd hold a nail when you're about to hammer it into a wall.
Oh.
Yeah, so he obviously hasn't got much practice in writing on paper with a pen. It's definitely not something in his skill set anymore. When last did you write something with a pen?
I don't even know if I remember how to write.
You write like this. You're like a three-year-old with a crayon.
Because you either put a note in your phone or you type out a note on your computer.
Oh, man.
Now I've got to write down things that I need to remember.
Oh, this is great. We're going to have a lot of fun watching you today. This is your theme music.
Just for today.
Yeah. This is Flex trying to figure out how to use a pen.
I feel like I'm from the Flintstones.
He's just moving a piece of paper around on the table to figure out which side is the top. All right, back to you, Mubs.
Well, no, that's it, Gareth, because it is time for sport. But I must just add that the chairperson who was overseeing the entire interview process yesterday,
yes,
I saw a lot of people on Twitter commending her as well, because apparently that woman wasn't fucking around, hey? She walked in there, she was on a mission, and a lot of people were loving her.
I like her. She's the one with the big Tina Turner hair, right?
She also, like, had her own set of her brass balls.
I'm so glad you mentioned her. What is her name? Let's give her credit.
Yeah,
I like her a lot.
Let me look it up. Let me look it up.
I like her. She's cool. She could, whatever she should be in charge of, I'm in favor.
She was cool. There were one or two people who said she should just take over as the next public protector. Right. She means business.
This is her theme music. I'd love her to walk in to these hearings with this music. Wouldn't it be cool with the Tina Turner hair? I'm taking a look at a picture of her now.
Oh, nobody mentions her name in any of it. You know what? I'll find it, and as soon as I find it, I'll let you know. Won't
you give me, I'm looking as well.
Yeah.
If you know, then let us know. I'm having trouble with our WeChat messages to screen, but if you can tweet us, that would be great. Check it out. Got big hair and she's wearing a big blue jacket. With a clever mind. Like, it's straight out of 1983, but she's clearly not there to mess around. I like her.
Makosi Khoza.
There we go. Yeah, Makosi Khoza, this is for you, baby. Yeah!
Doctor Makosi Khoza, by the way.
That's right. Let's not mess around.
No, we're not messing around.
Can't we find her a job somewhere really important that she's always around? She seems like someone you always need around, right? I'd like her to be around more. Okay, let's get into Ben and the sport. It is Olympics, and Ben is not here next week. His dad will be standing in ably for him on Monday. What a lot of sport for you to
week. There's so much.
You can't leave us in a week like this.
Yeah, I know, Gareth. Maybe not the greatest planning, but I need to get away.
No, it's a horrendous, very, very bad planning on your part, Ben. But let's get into it nonetheless. There's so much to talk about this morning when it comes to the Olympics and everything else. So over to Ben Karpinski, the mounts.
Michael Phelps. I guess we've got to start with Michael Phelps, right? He's the biggest deal in sport right now. And last night, or this morning,
yeah,
he won his 22nd gold medal. Now, we all know who Steve Harvey is, right?
Yeah, he's the guy. Yeah. He's the guy. Despite all of his achievements in the world, Steve Harvey's the guy who will most easily remember because he screwed up Miss World.
Oh, shame.
Terribly. Yeah. So last night, while Phelps was, and I've got to say this, cruising to his 22nd gold medal, people say when you win by body length in swimming, it's huge. Phelps won by a giraffe length. It was so far ahead. But this commentator from America, now this is CBC Primetime, he saw it slightly differently.
Now, I've got something from the 70s. That's not what you're looking for, right?
No.
It's that link you sent me on my phone.
Hopefully.
No, let me just see here.
The one that
I got it.
There we go.
Okay, Ben. Here it is, just for you.
So this is the 200 meter individual medley, of which Phelps and Lochte, there's a big rivalry between the two Americans.
Right.
But there's no rivalry, it's just Phelps.
Okay, here we go.
Going for it. Pereira is making his run, and Phelps doesn't look like he has this one in him. Ryan Lochte going to put his 13th career medal, saving the best for last. Finally, he's going to do it. Ryan Lochte is going to beat Michael Phelps in this event in the games, and Phelps might not even make the podium.
Which is bizarre, because it was Phelps. Stupid idiot.
No, keep it going, keep it going.
Okay.
You just missed the best part.
Okay, sorry, sorry, here it is, Ben. Calm down, you're busy hand gesturing to me like an ape.
I apologize. I got...
No, why does it cut out there? I don't know. Why you give me such shit clips? Anyway, this guy apologized like Steve Harvey.
So there's this awkward silence, okay? So not only has Phelps won, but he won by like full body lengths. Lochte finished somewhere.
Nobody cares, yeah.
Like somewhere. And then there's this horrible pause, and the guy goes, I apologize.
Oh, shame.
But like,
thank God it wasn't Dwayne DeLocca. Imagine how embarrassed we would be.
Huh? So that was the big cock-up yesterday in the Olympics today.
But that's as bad as crowning the wrong Miss World.
No, Gareth, it's so bad.
It's
because
worse.
The thing is, like, Phelps
it's
was,
worse.
He was a favorite to win, okay? It's pretty obvious. He's in the middle lane.
This is like Miss Venezuela on the stage with five chimpanzees, and you crown one of the chimpanzees, you know?
But this guy was so getting into it. Like, oh my gosh, Phelps isn't going to be on the podium.
Right.
And 22 gold medals. So there's 22 gold medals. We all know these absolutely incredible as Phelps. Now, he went straight from that event, right? And I should you know, probably 10 minutes, maybe 7 minutes, he went straight into the semifinals of the 100-meter butterfly.
Right.
And, no surprise, he made it into the final there. So if we'd look at the final of the 100-meter butterfly, which is the big event, now people obviously have been talking up the whole Leclerc versus Phelps thing, but there's no rivalry with Phelps. It's just basically him and anyone else is trying to beat him.
Shame, yeah. It's almost like when people... watch a really great movie and they're like, oh, I could be Superman.
Or it's like when people try to compare anyone to the All Blacks.
Yes.
Yeah, it's cute, but the All Blacks just are going to win. So if you look at the men's 100-meter butterfly, right, Joseph Schooling actually blasted all of them away. He's got the fastest time, 50.83 for 100 meters.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this guy was incredible in both his heats coming into this final, and he gets faster and faster. Chad Leclerc did post the second fastest time in the 100-meter butterfly in the semi-final. Phelps only the fifth best, but I mean, the guy just literally, he won a gold medal for a 200-meter medley. So that's going to go into that final. If Phelps wins gold in this event, he will have as many gold medals as South Africa have in the history of the Olympics for all the years, all of them. It would be kind of ironic if he has a pip Leclerc at the post to have as many medals as South Africa. And can I just point out right now, and I might have mentioned it before, these horrendous outfits that the South African guys have to be in, someone made a good point. These tracksuits that the SA team are wearing, it's like these shell suits your mom bought you when you're growing up, but they're meant to be two sizes too big so you can grow into them. Every other country in the world has like these great Nike, Adidas, Under Armour, whatever, like, and they all look good. Our guys just look poor. They look horribly poor. And another someone who was trolling me on Twitter about it said, well, maybe it's the best thing because even the mosquitoes won't bite them in those horrible suits. Or no one's going to break into the South African roofs because they look so poor. They've got nothing to steal.
Oh.
It's so embarrassing for these guys. Especially our rowers yesterday, right? Now, here's a good story from the Olympics. And we'll get into the rugby just in a bit. But, our rowers, look at that, huh? Keeling and Britain, they went out in the men's Cox pairs or Cox's pairs. There's a Cox in there somewhere. And they won silver. Now, these guys get pretty much bugger all from Minister of Social Media Spending and Opulence and his Sascock cronies. British bugger all, right? They're given a triple XL tracksuit to look like Dewis was in. But they still go out and they win
triple
silver.
XL tracksuit.
Guys, look at
that. Sounds so shit.
You've got to look at these poor bastards on this podium. They've just given everything for their country, right? And they've won silver.
Silver medal is
a big deal.
Oh,
and shame. They're standing there. This poor guy, the bottom of his trouser pants is like going over his shoes.
Mm. Yes.
It's like, it's just so embarrassing. I hate these people who just ruin everything for us. These fat cats who are there business classing all the way to Rio right now.
And our athletes
in their tailored suits. And our poor guys here are in these sacks.
Do you know how many people have tweeted the minister asking why it is that our athletes look as terrible as they do? And I don't think he's responded to a single tweet.
No, he doesn't care.
Hey, did anyone see Rake Netling's tweet the other day?
Get into it now.
Okay.
This is tweet of the day, which we're going to get into more. But yeah, so the rowing is looking really good, right? So not Keeling and Britain, they just won silver. Now there's four SA rowing teams going into the finals, right? So there's four chances of medals on the back of our rows. And may I point out again, these people get very little funding from this wonderful sport. Oh God, it makes my blood boil. These administrators, and they're just doing their bit.
Right.
So nice to see.
Making fun of us.
I just hope these guys get it. And, you know what? I hope the wind blows in a certain direction so these tractors don't look so shit when they get their medals. I just give them a hand, something, anything. Also, another news from the pool. Kate Ledecky, she won another gold medal. I told you yesterday, well, this woman is so incredible.
Yeah. She's amazing.
And it says Mike Tandy makes it into the 50-meter freestyle final. You can watch that tomorrow morning at 3:44, but he finished 8th in the qualifiers. But, one of the big stories in the pool yesterday was that it's the first time since 1985 there was a tie for gold. Both Simone Manuel and Penny Oleksiak from Canada and America, mm-hmm. Simone's from America, they touched the wall, literally, stroke for stroke, mirror images of each other, 52.7 for 100 meter freestyle, both Olympic records, and both gold medalists. And
wow.
Spoiler alert for racists out there, Simone Manuel's actually black.
Oh.
So there goes your theories. Yeah.
Racists.
Tough day for racists with another gold medal going to a black swimmer. Unfortunate, but
black
what
swimmer.
A moment.
Yeah, that's why it's... Because, yeah. You know, there's still that bullshit about black people can't swim.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it turns out they swim better than you.
This Olympics has been so cool in so many different areas. It's just great to watch. But yeah, before we get to the Blitz Box, because I'm just trying to get rid of all my rage before I get into that, there was a funny story about a Kenyan coach who was posing as an athlete who's now been sent home.
Oh, shit.
So straight away you think, okay, doping. This guy, right? Okay, so...
This is great. I wonder about
the
gumption of someone who thinks they won't be caught out at the Olympics posing as an athlete when they're a coach.
Okay, so John Ansra, okay, so he presented himself as Ferguson Rottich, okay? So Ferguson Rottich is a medal contender. But this dude, this John Ansra, he's 61, okay?
Yeah.
So he's not exactly the mirror image, is he? But he took the accreditation and he went and had a meal. Doping inspectors, and it's all very random, they went up to this guy and said, Ferguson, okay, well, we thought you were younger, but hey, come with us, give a doping test. This coach not only presented himself as the athlete to get a free meal, he then went forward and did the dope test with them. So he gave them urine and blood, rather than saying, oh, guys, hang on a second, it's not me.
Wow.
But he was there literally to get a free meal.
That's it, huh? Things are so bad for him in Kenya that he would rather lie and...
Yeah, just to get a free meal.
Unbelievable.
And he was so committed to the bit that he actually gave blood and urine samples to the contestant.
Wow.
But to his credit, Ferguson Rottich, you know, because people straight away would have gone, okay, well, now these Kenyans, they're trying to get coaches to give testing for their doping. But Ferguson straight away found out about this and said, no, guys, he was just trying to have a meal. Yeah, I will give you blood and urine right now. I'm clean. Everything's cool.
Shame.
Anyway, but this poor dude, he has been sent home. I don't know the story, if he was meant to be there, if he was just posing to be a coach, posing to be a runner.
Shame.
Yeah. So how about them Blitzbox, right? Well,
tell us about them.
Gareth, they made it into the semi-finals where they took on Team Great Britain, which is basically England, Scotland and Wales. Not exactly a powerhouse in the sevens game. And they lost. They lost in just the most horrible fashion. They lost to Bella Sinatra prior to the match, right? Fractured his wrist, unfortunately. So, Francois Hovenkamp came in. And, they definitely did miss him. But in the first half, they created opportunities to win the game in the first half. Quakkus Smith will be always known as throwing the biggest Hansi in Seven's career.
What does that mean?
There was two men outside of him, guaranteed try. He threw the ball left into touch. That would have meant the South Africa would have been 12-0 up at that stage. They lost the game 7-5.
So people hate him right now.
Put it this way. Where did Team Great Britain... How did they do this year in the World Series, in the Sevens World Series?
I'm guessing not very well.
Of course not, Gareth, because they weren't in it. This team came together a month ago.
Okay.
Like, it's not hard to beat these dudes. We had so many opportunities. This team has been together for years and years. So much is building into this, but this whole year the Blitzbox have been so frail when there's been a pressure moment. They just make bad decisions. They've got so much talent, there's so much ability here. And it just they kind of just show you what the rest of SA is like at the moment. Whenever our teams get into anything where it's a must-win situation, they crumble terribly. There's something wrong with SA Sport, and the Blitzbox just showed it last night. Mm. It was so soul-destroying to see this happen. It really was, because these guys deserved a medal for all the hard work they put in, but they just fell so flat. And as SA fans, I mean, you go on Twitter and you just see the response. Everyone is just so used to this shit now.
Yeah.
These teams just falling foul. They're just so used to it.
It's been a long time since we won
anything. I've just been proud of anything. Anyway, so Great Britain, they went on to the finals against Fiji and got completely and utterly hammered. Like 40-something five. So, look, the bottom line is Fiji deserve gold medal, right? So they got gold medal. Fiji's first ever medal in the Olympics, let alone a gold.
Right.
So good for them. Great. They're a great team. They were the IRB Series winners this year. Mm-hmm. But it's just so limp from South African sports. And then again, and then have to stand there in this fucking tracksuit and get bronze, that $3 medal. And Sivela Sanatla, okay, this poor dude. So he broke his, he basically fractured his wrist. And IOC rules mean that he couldn't even be on the podium with his team. So Francois Hocquart said, look, dude, you can have my medal. It's all yours. Which is a nice gesture.
Oh, that is
Of course
nice.
He said no, but I mean, ugh, just a cuck night for rugby. Anyway, that's your Olympics for today, really. But yes, getting into tweet of the day, which is Rick Nietland. This is one of the best things I've seen on Twitter for quite some time. So, Yulia Efimova, right? Now, she has tested positive not once, but twice for the drugs. Twice.
Is she Russian?
Yeah. She's okay. Like the Gatlin of women's swimming. So, then, you know, these Russians were very victim mentality going to this Olympics, right? Oh, everyone's just banning us because there's some people doing drugs. No, lots of people are doing drugs, okay? So, she tweets, I'm just happy to be here. A week ago, I didn't even know if I was going to race because I'm Russian. No, oh, poor Russians. So then Rick Nitling basically says, no, dear, it's because you tested positive twice. This has been retweeted around hundreds of times.
Let's give credit to Rick. That's fantastic. Proud, what do you think of that? Ladies and gentlemen, what do you think, studio audience? Big fans. And a corner of the room obviously thinks it's quite funny too.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you, audience. Please calm down.
Okay. Before we get to Anthony, very quickly, the football.
Flex, what did you want to say?
Ben can say his comment, and it was about Ryan Lochte. I'll tell you a funny thing that happened to him.
About his hair.
Yeah. So
he's funny.
He's a bit of like a weird dude, Ryan Lochte. Like he's even had like a reality show trying to find love, and he's a bit like a.
He smoked a lot of weed and a bunch of other stuff.
No, he acts very stupid.
He's really stupid.
He really is.
Yeah, he is stupid.
I know him now, the one who had the TV show.
Yeah.
The reality TV show.
So, before the Olympics, he decided to dye his hair. Sort of like that Justin Bieber color, that like bleached white.
Yeah.
So like silver.
Yeah, silver whitish. So, right. During the Olympics, all the chlorine was running through his hair while he was swimming. And it basically started turning green.
Oi.
So, you see him in the podium photos with green hair now.
Oh, that's horrible.
And he probably doesn't notice it.
Well, he's, according to Ben, he's really stupid.
Yeah, he is very stupid.
He walks around in life like a Labrador, just got a bone. He's quite a sight, this guy. So, just quickly to finish off, the English Premier League starts this weekend.
Oh.
How bloody exciting if you love the football.
Yes.
So, just quickly run you through the fixtures. First up, Hull City will take on defending champs, although mid-table dwellers this year, I'm sure. Leicester, they'll be at 1 o'clock South African time. Crystal Palace versus West Brom at 4. Everton versus Spurs at 4, Middlesbrough versus Stoke at 4, Southampton versus Watford at 4, Burnley versus Swansea at 4, and then Man City will take on Sunderland at 6:30 on Saturday. Sunday we'll see Bournemouth versus Man United at 2:30, and the big one for the weekend will be Arsenal versus Liverpool, 5 o'clock on Sunday. Oh, sorry. And then,
that a vomit or was that a burp?
That's a bit weird, Ben.
Very strange sound for you to make, Ben.
Very unfortunate. Monday, Chelsea versus West Ham. So, who's going to win this season? Well, who's going to win it?
Ben, really?
Man City has spent a lot of money. They're looking good. Man United has spent a lot of money. They're looking good. Arsenal has spent a little bit of money. They're looking okay. Chelsea, well, they've got a new coach. They've got a new everything. They've got a new lease on life. After last year of doing absolutely nothing, they could be the surprise package. But... Let's just say, Liverpool, this could be the dark horse season we've been waiting for about 23 years, since lamb chop sideburns were in fashion. This could be the year for Liverpool. I'm not jinxing them, I'm just saying. Maybe these guys know this. And that will be your sport for the Friday. I will catch you back on about the 21st, 22nd.
Okay, Ben, don't worry, he'll be back in a week. Yeah. So it's just 1 week that he's got
just
off.
Just 5 days.
I got to tell you, if you have anybody who's not interested in the Olympics, give them the podcast from Ben's Sport this morning. If they don't want to watch the Olympics after that, then they're never going to watch the Olympics. All right? I think it's fair to say that. Come on. Join the party, everybody. Spread the word. Let's get everybody excited. It's time. The only asset manager in the whole of South Africa, in fact, possibly even the world, who has her own theme song, Anthea Gardner.
Good morning, Gareth.
Are the other asset managers not jealous of the fact that you have your own theme song?
I suspect they are. They're just not saying.
And not just any theme song, but many versions of the same theme song. I mean, it's just incredible.
Today. Such an energetic version today.
I went to a meeting with Anthea the other day, and someone, as she walked into the room, went, "She works hard for the money," as she walked in. And Anthea just nodded her head like she's used to it.
Yeah.
All right, so where do we begin for Friday morning?
Okay, well, the market yesterday, we spent most of the day in the red, but there was some nice buying in the afternoon, so we finally closed in the green. And I'm going to give the Americans credit for that. They seem to be on a bit of a buying spree because even the U.S. indices closed at their highest levels again last night. Well, definitely the S&P 500 and the Dow and Nasdaq pretty close to highest levels. Some good economic data and a higher oil price driving that yesterday. So all good news there. And then locally, the only index that was negative were financials, really. Even Avenge, remember we spoke about this company yesterday, the construction company?
Yeah.
It was up another 11% yesterday, so that makes it, what, 20% in the last couple of days?
Unreal.
Yes, exactly, for a company that's making over 200 million rand loss, right?
Oh, this is why you want to be on the stock market. You could have made 20% more if you just invested in them.
In a couple of days.
Exactly. Where do you get those kinds of returns?
Even Murray and Roberts was up 6% yesterday, and I think that's just on Avengers' good results. But I think Murray and Roberts will have a pullback because they're not doing quite as well as Avenge, I don't think.
So you mean that the whole sector benefits from one stock that starts going up?
Yes, but yeah, it really is a bit of what they're doing is they're building expectations into the whole sector. So if Avenge says, well, look at us, we're cost-cutting, we're doing okay, we're strengthening our balance sheet, people are going, oh, maybe Murray and Roberts can do the same thing. So okay. I'm not that convinced about it. But this one, more stock specific. Stella Capital was up yesterday as well. They announced that they had submitted a firm letter of intent to buy a small company called Amacor, which is short for Amalgamated Electronic Corporation. They do electronics manufacturing, defense systems, remote controls. And so, actually, Amacor fits quite nicely into Stellar Capital's Telumac business, the defense systems and air traffic management business. I'm not sure how Charles Pettit does it because he's offered shareholders basically a 2% premium to where the share was trading, where Amacor was trading. And he did the same for Tor. So it looks like 2% is his number. He's not like Marcus Yoster, who last week paid 115% premium for Mattress Firm, right?
Right.
And I think my only concern with the Stellar Capital deals, because now they've got a couple on the table. They've got Tor, they've got Prescient, they've got this Amacor, and I'm sure they've got a couple of other small ones as well, is that sellers of these companies still need to vote on the deal. And if they vote that they want Stellar Capital shares instead of cash, then Stellar will have to issue more shares or new shares, which could potentially have a dilutionary effect, the effect of diluting shares. We'll make up words.
That's all right.
So I think maybe until we understand the complete metrics and until the vote goes through, the share will probably stay around where it is, Stella Capital share. And then I mentioned Steinhoff, and I honestly thought they were over this Poundland deal, but apparently yesterday they upped the offer for Poundland. I thought they'd let go of it, but it seems there's a bit of, I think, what do you want to call it, corporate battle going on between Steinhoff and a U.S. hedge fund called Elliott, which has bought 17.5% of Poundland and are telling shareholders that they must hold out for a higher offer.
All right.
So, yeah, I really don't like that sort of thing. You know, it just ends up where the acquiring company pays too much for the selling company. So I'm going to watch out.
It becomes
that.
A bidding war.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, and as shareholders, we're the ones that suffer, right? Because the company is paying too much.
Okay.
And then Old Mutual was down 4.5% yesterday. Not great. They released interim results. Market did not like it. But again, it really is a sterling weakness story because Old Mutual reports in pounds. And just to illustrate my point, their operating profit fell to £708 million, which was 9% lower in constant currency, so in pounds. But if you translate it, it's a 22% decline in rand terms. So, you know, the weak pound, I should say, just having a negative impact there. And then Bruce Hemphill said that they're still wanting to break up Old Mutual into the four standalone businesses, but now they've come across some regulatory, delays, I should say. And it looks like it's only going to happen at the end of 2018. We thought it would be middle of next year. So,
all right.
It's about a year's delay, yeah. And then lastly, Alibaba reported last night, and I know I don't often look at offshore companies, but I can't get enough of this story, teacher turned billionaire. So e-commerce revenue was up 59% in the quarter for Alibaba to $4.8 billion.
What do you buy online? I mean, Flax was saying yesterday he'll buy shoes online, but he won't buy clothes because he can't try them on.
What do I buy? I buy almost everything online except clothing because I can't try it.
Do you do your grocery shopping like online? Do you tick the boxes?
And absolutely.
Really? I knew you were some 21st century whiz. I knew it. I can't imagine Anthea pushing a trolley through Woolworths.
And can you imagine? Like, why would I go to the shop to buy dishwashing liquid?
So do they drop off a box at your house once a week?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, so fantastic.
And then all you have to do is unpack it. It's great.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So, okay, back to Alibaba. So what's interesting about this business is that like Amazon, Alibaba's standout performance for this quarter is the growth from cloud computing businesses. And, I mean, I say that, but their media and entertainment business actually quadrupled in the last quarter.
Huh.
So basically, it looks like for Alibaba, the diversification from only e-commerce is working particularly well for them. And it's such huge profits.
Hmm.
Yeah, so that's it. Asia looks like it's going to follow the U.S. higher this morning, and the rand slightly weaker, 13.42 to the dollar. So I think it'll be positive. We'll have a positive day on the JSE today.
Excellent. All right, Anthea. Thank you.
Speak to you on Monday. Have a good weekend.
Very good. Anthea Gardner with a look at the markets this morning. What are the most critical requirements for companies in today's business environment? Connectivity, communications, technology. Those are the things that you need to know about. Who better to deliver this to you than iConnect Telecoms? There isn't anyone. I'll tell you why. From internet connectivity to voice and cloud platforms to the latest IT solutions and more. iConnect ensures maximum uptime and productivity with more reliable connectivity and the necessary support and backup. iConnect is your answer, all delivered by a single solution provider. What do you need to do? Well, it's easy. Grab a pen or grab your phone, take down a voice note, write it into your phone if you have to. iConnect, all you have to do with them is go to iConnectSA.co.za. Got it? iConnectSA.co.za. Say it with me. iConnectSA.co.za. Correct. The one provider to manage all your communications. That's iConnect. We use them here, Ben.
We do indeed, Gary.
Had any problems?
No, it's looking for one, actually.
There we go. See, and Ben will try to find the problems. Trust me. Just by the way, but while we're talking about Ben, just for a second, this is important. I know it doesn't bother you, Ben, but it bothers me. News 24 on Twitter coming up with two stories in a row that come straight out of Ben's sport. Listen, you sons of bitches, you better give us credit. I don't mind you listening to us every morning, and I don't mind you stealing stories from Ben's sport, but if you're going to do that, at least occasionally reference cliffcentral.com. First story, don't tell me they got this from anywhere else, because it came straight out of your sport. Phelps needs one more goal to tie SA, which is something that Ben discovered. Senatla, Hochart offered me his medal. Both stories in the sport. It may be a coincidence, I'm willing to accept that, but both of them just happened right here. And we're up before everyone else. So I'm just guessing that they may have got some ideas from us.
Gareth, look, they've got a team of people working around the clock, so I'm going to go with coincidence.
All right, Ben. It's kind of you. I'm not going to give that kind of latitude. I'm going to expect credit. God damn it. Do what you need to do. All right, who's on the phone? Adam. Adam in Dubai. What's up, Adam in Dubai?
My bro, I just came out of the desert. I'm fucking hot. We've just been running 20 kilometers. It is 9 o'clock in the morning. It's 44 degrees.
Yeah.
And I'm sweating my balls off.
Why are you running in the desert? I thought we'd figured out that was a bad idea back in the times of Alexander the Great.
Yeah, I don't know. There was like a group of eight of us this morning, and so my family's fucked off to the UK.
Yeah.
So I've got nothing to do on a Friday morning, so I went running. But I almost died, and then when I turned around, I was like, my only saving grace is that if I get back to the car, I know the DC Oaks are there.
And you've got aircon.
So, fuck, bro. I'm blasting this thing on 19. Like full volume.
Why do you live in Dubai? Are you working there?
Yeah, no, I live here for about 17 years now.
17? 1-7?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So, yeah, listen, we miss home a lot, so don't worry.
Have you learnt any Arabic?
Yeah, no, yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
Enough so that they can't talk cock around my back, you know what I'm saying?
Right. You sound very South African. You sound like you were here just yesterday.
No, I'm not going to, you know, you get all these South Africans, they arrive here,
yeah,
and they've only been here for like fucking 6 weeks,
yeah,
and they've got this thick accent, I don't know what they're trying to do, but anyway, enough of that. The reason why I'm calling is just, I love Peshitta, bro.
Oh, you
I
love
cannot
Peshitta?
Get enough, absolutely. Peshitta, you rock, honestly.
Thank you.
And if anyone gives you shit, you call me, and I'll sort them out.
I'll definitely call you, definitely.
All right, Adam.
Okay.
All right.
And then maybe in the next Gareth, I'm not finished.
Oh.
I need to say hi to my valet.
Oh. Hi, Adam.
Where's my valet?
Hi, Adam.
My valet, maybe in our next life, we can have a future together as well. Okay,
okay, Adam. Well, you are really working it this morning, hey?
He's working it.
He's working, no, listen, he's working all the women's.
Thanks, Adam. Have a good weekend.
Listen, all you right, two, fine, but before, fine. Hang on, Adam, before you go, before Peshitta and Mabali get too excited, there aren't a lot of women walking around in Dubai for him to look at, so obviously he's going to be excited. Let's not, you know.
I'm telling, Gareth, that's a misperception, because I work in a water park, and you must come see what walks around here. But
take pictures for me.
I mean, well, I'm going to send someone on Twitter.
Yeah, because that's not creepy.
Oh, shut up, Ben. All right. Need to see what he means. You know, we're men. We only understand what we see in pictures. We're not smart enough to figure it out ourselves. All right, Adam, thanks, bro.
All right, guys. Keep up the good work.
You have a lekker day. All right, there we go. There's Adam. Right. He's calling us from Dubai. Where there's a water park that he's been working at. Who knew? Huh?
CliffCentral.com